Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion. By His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, life is destiny. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. For God has overcome. The King who was and is, evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe you believe. I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard, or eyes have seen. I believe that a day is coming. He's returning to claim His bride. Fight the offering, keep the burning. See the Lamb, He rolls a roaring lion. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. Oh, I believe in you. No, I'll never be ashamed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never walk away ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. And God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. To God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. Praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. Hallelujah, I believe. Do you believe this morning? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We gave thanks this week because God is good, right? We do Easter because He's risen. Christmas because He was born. Amen. There's so many, almost all of our festivals that we do or holidays, it's all around Christ. But everybody wants to deny it, don't they? But it's all about Jesus. It always is. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Breaks the power of sin and darkness. Who is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder. Breathless, in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings.
Amazing grace.
This is amazing grace. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I see you for all that you've done for me. Chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I've seen for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy all. This is amazing grace.
It's amazing.
That you would love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. I've seen for all that you've done for me. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Lay down your life. I would be set free. Jesus, I've seen for all that you've done for me. You laid down your life. Oh, yes, he did. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I've seen for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hallelujah. He laid down his life that I will be set free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, God is so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was
place that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious that grace of fear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, Savior's ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will thy shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior's ransom me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine, will be forever mine.
My chains are gone,
my chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior's ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior's ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My chains are gone. Hallelujah. You feel like those chains have fallen off, or you're still bound? He takes those chains away. Thank you, my God. Thank you, my Lord.
I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing. amazing love. I know that it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. Forgiven, because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. It's amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be? You, my king, would die for me. How could it be? Amazing love. I know that it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. To honor you. Here's why. Because you are my king. Is he your king this morning? Because you are my king. Because you are my king. Because you are my king. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my king, would die for me. Amazing love, I know that it's true. And it's my joy to honor you. Is it your joy? Amazing love, how can it be? That you, my king, would die for me. Amazing love, I know that it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do. Is why? Because you are my king. Because you are my king. You are my king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are my King, Jesus. You saved me. You set us aside. You have made us holy, Lord. Thank you, my Jesus, Father, that we can be one with you, Father. That we can step into heaven and spend eternity with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God that created all of this, that we can spend eternity with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Got one more.
Do we have one more?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it.
I thought it was pretty good worship there.
I know. I'll tell you what, sometimes I get wrapped
Mike's
up.
Mike's got things to do with people to see.
I got things to go. Oh, I get worshiped and then I go, I get lost.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast the crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
Let's sing it.
Worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. You are worthy of all. He's so worthy. Isn't he? Let's sing it. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you all things. You deserve glory. Night and day let incense rise. Day and night, night and day let incense arise. Day and night, night and day let incense rise. Day and night, night and day let incense rise. You are worthy of it all. Oh, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. You are worthy of it all. Oh, you are so worthy, Lord. You are worthy of it all. So worthy, worthy, Jesus. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. You are worthy of it all. Oh, so worthy. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Okay, let's exalt him here.
And I exalt thee, Lord. I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
So worthy,
you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory.
And from you are all things,
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Hallelujah. You deserve the glory, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, he's here now.
You couldn't get all the words?
No, we got them all.
It was awesome. Sorry.
Yeah. Good morning there, brothers and sisters. It's good to see you here this morning. Wow, look at that over there. Look at the smiling face. If ever I've seen a smiling face, I have to smile myself.
All right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Though there are a few of us, God is in our midst. No matter how many people are here, God is in our midst. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is in your midst. Now, the question is, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, because if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to examine and say, what am I doing that's preventing me from coming to know the Lord? Why am I not, you know, following the Lord? In my readings, personal readings, I was in Romans right now, and a few things. I read one part, and then I got to another part, and I read another, and I was like, oh, I need to share that. After I said, oh, I need to share this. And the Lord says, well, you can mold them both together. You know, so, you know, we can, you know, because it all fits. You know, I was looking this morning. Hold on. You know, I was looking this morning over here on the table, and I've been here for, I don't know, since 2005. And, you know, if my wife is listening, she would say, oh, Craig, because this has been around for a long time. I said, oh, I've never seen it before. And my wife would say, yeah, there could be a painting on the wall that's been there since we've been married. And he says, when'd you get that? And she goes, Craig Ireland, that's been there since we've been married. And I said, really? It's the first time I've ever seen it. So anyway, it doesn't surprise me that would happen. But anyway, I encourage you, I mean, they're over there is... encourage before I get started here is to take one of these or a couple of these. It's almost like a track, and it just talks about our church. It's Bible-based, Christ-centered fellowship where Jesus is Lord, the Bible is taught, and the Spirit leads from within. You know, so people want to know what our church is about. You know, and inside, it's got so many different things in there, inside and out. And it would give people who really want to know the Word of God, you know, say, hey, I want to check that out and see how the Word of God's being taught. So I want to encourage you to take a couple with you, you know, and give to your neighbors as you're sharing with people. Say, hey, can I share you what our church is about? You know, how Christ is leading our congregation. So anyway, I want to encourage you to take that. I'm going to, in Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 10, and I'm... my question to you is, are you living in the flesh or are we living in the Spirit? And the distinguish, and in Romans chapter 8 distinguishes what it is, meaning living in the flesh and living in the Spirit. Because in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, Is your or my mind set solely on things going on in this world and we just get discombobulated and we forget about the Spirit of God? But if we have the Spirit in us, He will keep us from following the flesh. But yet, we have to deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily and follow Him. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Is your life, is my life set on the things of God, or is it set on the things of the flesh? I mean, what are we practicing? Are we practicing the things of the flesh? Or are we practicing the things of the Spirit? And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He says, you cannot. We cannot please God, you know. And when, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. Does the Spirit dwell in you this morning? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. So, you know, when you're asking people questions about the Scriptures, and they're just like, ah, oh, that ain't it, because they don't have the Spirit of Christ in them, so they don't belong to Him, and they cannot understand the things of God. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You know, so we have the opportunity, you know, we have a small congregation and we've been praying for it to grow and we're getting little here and there and, you know, but as God, you know, ordains in a sense. you know, but we have opportunities. I mean, we have many ministries that we're doing and many opportunities to invite someone to those ministries. And but in Romans chapter 10, you know, we're talking about those who are living in the flesh and those who are living with the Spirit. Those who belong to Him are not living in the flesh, but living in the Spirit, and vice versa. But how can we remedy this to those who don't believe? And it's all on our shoulders by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. No questions asked. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, we look at that and says, well, if they don't know these things, how in the world are they supposed to come to know Jesus? For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord who will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And you know, we talk to people who have not believed. And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? You know, it's funny, in this society you would sit there and think that everybody has heard about Jesus. But you go talking to people, they don't have even a clue who Jesus is. So, how can they believe? How can they call on Him if they don't believe? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? You know, it's up to us. And how will they hear without a preacher? How can they hear the Word if we aren't sharing the Word, you know, through word and deed? You know, when we do deeds, the Word should come out. You know, like Samaritan's Purse is a good example. They go out to all these destroyed towns and stuff from damages done by storms and things like that. And when they do it, they do the deed, but they speak the truth. And many people have come to know Jesus because of it. They say, you guys are doing this for us. I mean, no one's getting paid doing it. No one's, you know, but yet they don't want to just go there and just do something and then nothing was ever said. So how would they hear without a preacher? You know, you don't have to be like, I know Robert likes to call him the preacher man, you know, but we're all preachers of the gospel. If we're in Christ, we're all preachers of the gospel. You know, whatever you know, whatever you've learned, that's what we speak. And how will they preach unless they were sent? Just as written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. But yet, in verse 16, is that all of them didn't heed the good news. You know, not everyone heeds good news. It says, however, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So, the Israelites didn't always believe the report what God had sent before Jesus came. And now Jesus has come, and many people still don't believe, even though He did things that no one else could do. And it's up to us. And I thank God that He showed this to me today, because I want to be able to, you know, take a few and God give me the opportunity to show them what our church is about. Because again, with our church, it's not a build. Someone's not going to look at the build and says, oh, I want to go there. You know, whether if God sends them, you know, because I put on the prayer list that God would send people here, you know, because He has, because He sent Julie and Mike. Well, He sent us all, actually, but I'm talking about in recent, you know, past, and Mike and Carol. But it's on us, each and every one of us. You know, we cry, we murmur, we complain, you know, but we have to be filled with the Spirit to be able to just draw. You know, God has provided. You know, we have such small amount of people here, but yet God continues to provide because, again, I know I shared this before. Pastor Eliseo one day said, because I was just sitting there thinking, I just hear people saying, where's all the people? And he says, God has called you to disciple those that you have. You know, we can't worry about the seats that aren't filled. We have to be concerned about each and every person's spiritual well-being. And you know, and if we are so focused on bringing people in, we end up forgetting each and every one of you. But yet, again, we are the ones that should be sent. You know, each of us have the, you know, some semblance of the gospel if you're in Christ. Some have more of a knowledge and understanding, but what you know is what you share. Don't share. We don't share something that we don't know. We share with what we do know. And if someone asks a question, you say, "Well, I don't know that answer, but I will find out." You know, it's not being, you know, shame with somebody. Well, you don't know the answer. He says, "Well, hold on, hold your horses. You just wait. Hey, meet me next Wednesday when we meet again, and I will have an answer for you." You know, by the grace of God. You know, so don't worry about what to say because the Spirit will give us the words to say when the time comes. So, one, make certain that the Spirit is in you, that you're not living in the flesh. And we see a lot of people living in the flesh. And two, if we're living in the Spirit, and the remedy for those living in the flesh is share the good news, that they may also live in the Spirit. Because when if you look out there on the news all the time, that things are going in this world, it isn't getting any better. You know, you think you vote for a president or congressman or mayors and governors and all that kind of stuff. I'm voting because I want things to get better. Have you seen it gotten any better? No. It's gotten worse. You know why? Because man's in charge. They're not allowing God to be ruler. You know, if God is ruling, then everything is a lot better. Not that things don't happen, but we're just getting further and further from the truth and further in debt. And then when we're further in debt, then we got to do more to get money to get more in debt so we can pay everybody everything. But you know what? God paid it in full with His life that we may have life. It doesn't matter about all the payment of bills and, you know, and then the government in debt and all that kind of stuff. We should be concerned about the debt that man has. And is a debt eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Where all His promises are sure, true, and perfect in every way? Or is it, I don't care, you know what? I'm just going to be annihilated and I won't know anything, which is what a lot of people say. But the Scripture says that they'll be gnawing and gnashing at the teeth where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. That is what's in stake for our loved ones who don't know Christ, for our neighbors who don't know Christ. That's what's in stake for each and every one of them. And we have the answers. As the world's getting worse, we should be more proactive in sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people aren't living by the flesh anymore. Because again, if you live by the flesh, you don't know God. But if you live by the Spirit, you know God. So anyway, I want to encourage you, you know, to continue reading your word, continue, you know, fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ to grow, to build up and encourage one another. You know, we're in the season of Thanksgiving, the season of Christmas, which we thank God for what He did for us. And we know when we were little, Christmas meant one thing. That Christ was born, and that Christ, but yet today, it's just happy holidays because you got Kwanzaa and you got all these things, and so they mold them all together. I remember going to a school for a Christmas choir at one of my grandkids, and so they were singing from the Muslims, the Jewish, you know, it wasn't even Christmas songs anymore. It was just songs, you know, so they'd have, because they're celebrating everybody, you know, because they could not stand just celebrating Christmas meaning one thing. They want Christmas to mean whatever. But we have to focus on the things of Christ. You know, we should celebrate Christ each and every day by living a life holy and acceptable unto Him. And with that, the mic is open for your prayers and petitions.
Lower the mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just got a praise and a couple of prayer requests. Over Thanksgiving, we got news that my niece, Samantha, Sammy, in San Diego, who was reported to have something growing inside her heart, and they were waiting to find out more about what it was and how they were going to operate to get it out. Well, she had an echocardiogram, and it was very clear on that, and my sister sent a Thanksgiving text, and she said, they just did an MRI, and they can't figure out where that growth is. It's not there anymore. So, she still is having chest pains. She still is having problems with her spleen and having liver problems. So she needs to remain in prayer to get to the bottom of everything, but at least there's no growth in her heart.
So what relationship is she?
She's my niece, my sister's child. Jeannie was supposed to come. Her mother was supposed to come and spend Thanksgiving with us, but she couldn't because Samantha's sick. And the other one is something my granddaughter, India, told me about. She's staying with a family to help them out. He's at River of Life Church. One of the youth ministers has come down with ASL, and it's getting pretty bad. And she didn't give me his name. We're talking in a big crowd of people. And the other thing is, in his family, he has a 9-year-old daughter named Nola, I believe is what it is. And she has just been diagnosed with leukemia. Not the fatal kind. It can be cured, but she's going to have a rough time of it with chemo and stuff like that.
Nola?
Nola, I think. N-O-L-A?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
By most of you know that Tom is still in rehab, not doing well at all, having trouble even talking. So I think unless the Lord intervenes, he'll not be here much longer. Also, I want to lift up Sandy Morgenstern. She wasn't feeling well. She was supposed to come to our house for Thanksgiving and wasn't able to do that. I didn't talk to her this morning, so I don't know. But anyway, just remember her. And I see Sam's not here and Barbara's not here, so we'll be praying for them too.
That's right, Marilyn.
I guess everybody's still stuffed from Thanksgiving. So, yeah, we do thank God for all the blessings He does give us. And again, I'll be making copies of the prayer list, and I'd like you all to take one home and you know, pray for these individuals and just pray for one another. You know, we cannot go on as an island. You know, no man can live as an island, and so we need one another. and I want to encourage you. And if you have any needs, feel free to call me. My new number's in the bulletin, right?
In the bulletin? Maybe not.
Oh.
I think it is.
Is it?
No, I probably haven't changed.
You haven't changed it yet?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, anyway, it will be changed. Okay, it's 540-729-2231. So if you have anything, you know someone has a need and we can help. Again, we did help with getting some furniture and delivering some people's houses and stuff like that. So those are just small things, but we want to be able to help in any way possible. We're not a wealthy church, but we are a church with people who are willing to do things to help one another out and to help even our neighbors. So if you have anything, feel free to call. If you have a special prayer request, feel free to call. We want to be as one in Christ. You know, if one is hurting, we all want to stand beside you and pray with you and help you. You know, if you're struggling with, food, let us know. We want to stand beside you, because if we have food and you don't, we are not being of Christ. You know, so you're struggling anything, God will provide for all our needs according to His riches and glory. And I know that He'll want us to be able to help one another. And I thank every one of you who have stepped up that can and helped. You know, whether it is up here at the pulpit giving communion meditation or helping out there volunteering. You know, last week I was a kid at a candy store when people volunteered to help, Aaron and Alicia with their kids. And, I didn't even ask them. They said, hey, I want to take care of them. I want to help them, and I thank you for that and praise you for that, because we need those things in place, to be able to, when we have more families coming in, to let them know that we have people that are going to minister to those children. And so I just want to encourage you with that. And with that, let us close. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for your mercy and grace and loving kindness. And Father, though we are few this morning, for whatever reason, Father, it's a lot of sickness, Father, and Lord, and maybe out of town, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around our congregants that aren't here, Lord Jesus, that you would just bless them and strengthen them, encourage them, Father, in your word, that your spirit would come down upon them. Lord Jesus, we pray for Tom, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, that you would help him, as we saw him on Monday, Lord Jesus, and as Pastor said, he didn't look very good. And we ask, oh God, that your mighty hand and outstretched arm would just hover over top of him and just heal him, Father, if it's your will, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, that he would just be able to give you glory, honor, and praise, even in the state that he is in, Lord. And we pray for Judy, Lord, that I'm certain she's missing her husband. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless her and strengthen her and encourage her, Father, as she also has some health issues yourself. And Lord, it is not easy, Lord, to when your loved ones are hurting, Father. And Lord, we just pray for them and ask that you bless them. They've served this church for many, many years, oh God, and served in the community, oh Lord. And now they're down to, bare bones in a sense, Lord. But we just pray, Lord, that you lift them up in their spirits, oh God, even in the midst of their trials. And the same here, Father, with those here in this congregation, Lord. John Weinhardt, Lord, just bless him and strengthen him and encourage him, Lord. And Pat, who takes care of him. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would just be with them, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for their service to you, oh Lord, and the service to this congregation. And we just ask, Lord, you put a special blessing and protection upon them, oh God. And Father, for the many, Kathy Prawl, and Sam, Lord, and Lord, and Marilyn, Lord, is going through rehab, and Hester Cooper, Father, is going through rehab, oh Lord. We pray, Father, that you would just be with them all and fill them with your spirit, oh God, we pray. Lord, you are a good, good God, and that's who you are. And Lord, we know that you're standing beside those who are weak, and you're carrying them along, Lord. And one day, Father, they know that your promises, Father, are sure, true, and perfect in every way. And Lord, we know one day we will be with you where there will be no more sorrow, no more suffering, No more pain, no more crying, Lord. There'll be peace, joy, and love like we can never can imagine here on earth. And when the greatest thing of all, we're going to have new bodies, incorruptible, without sin. Lord, we don't have to worry about that no more. But until that time comes, Lord, may we be about your business, O Lord, and proclaiming the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to those who are perishing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, we didn't mention Kathy Prawl, but she was supposed to be here doing communion, and she's not feeling well, so Craig did pray for her. So anyway, just continue to lift them up. It's that time of the year when we do seem to have more sickness at times, but of course it can happen anytime, depending upon our circumstances. So we just continue to seek the Lord. As we come to celebrate what Jesus did for us, I just want to mention the background of the scripture I'm going to read, which what God did in bringing Israel and then establishing the priesthood, and particularly the high priest, exemplified what Jesus was going to do when he came. And so that's why I really like the book of Hebrews. It is very focused on this. It's a very unique book. And I want to read chapter 8, which is not very long, but it's kind of the focus of what he did and is doing. He's the high priest of a new covenant. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne on the majesty, of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear." What is so great about this is what God was doing in all of it. And when Jesus came and established the new covenant, he fulfilled what God was doing in the old covenant. And he was the only one that could do it because it required perfection, and that didn't happen until Jesus came along. It's interesting, too, that he says, "I will establish this covenant with the people of Israel." What most people don't realize is we are the people of Israel. In Romans 11, Paul makes it very clear that when the new covenant was established, Israel that prepared the way for Jesus to come was replaced by the saved people that Jesus is saving, both from the beginning to now, and they are God's people. which God designated as the people of Israel. And so I know a lot of people are confused and misled by so many. I don't know what God's going to do when Jesus returns, but I do know one thing's for sure. We're going to go be with Him, and we'll never suffer again. We'll have perfect bodies, and we'll have a perfect place. But the most beneficial thing, the most wonderful thing, is we'll have perfect fellowship with God. And what a great thing that is. That is what we're celebrating, because that's what Jesus has made possible for us. And while we live in this world and we falter and stumble and don't always keep our focus where it ought to be, praise God that Jesus makes up the difference for us. His blood covers us. His right, we are clothed in His righteousness. And that's what Jesus did when He went to the cross and died for us and paid the debt for all of it. Would the ushers come now as we prepare to receive the offering? Jesus offering. Let's say that. I'm so often doing the offering. I want to bless this before you start passing them out. Let me just take one of these. Well, Father, I am so thankful that You love us the way You do, and that You are a God of love, and that is why Your grace is so marvelous, because You are love. Because of Your love, You are wanting us to have that fellowship with You. And even though You demand perfection, and You are a righteous God, and You cannot tolerate sin, Jesus, You made it possible for us to have that removed from us, so that we could live in Your perfection, being clothed with Your righteousness. And that is because of what You did on that cross, when You gave Your life, which the bread represents here, and You shed Your blood, which the juice represents here, and as we partake, we are fellowshipping in that victory. Bless us now as we partake of these elements. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Partake as you are, as they are passed. I want to mention a couple of things before we take up the offering. On December the 20th, we're going to have a special meeting here. And I didn't get that in the bulletin. I'll need to make that. December 20th. So we're going to start having our, rather than our Saturday evening fellowship, we're going to start doing it on Saturday, so we'll probably I'll let you know by email, but I think we'll probably start that December. I think we've said December the 20th, and somehow I didn't get it in the bulletin here, but I knew about it. So anyway, I'll clear that up, and we will plan on having fellowship and then prayer together for God's leading in our lives. Otherwise, you got the information there in the bulletin. I think most of it, rather than Craig's phone number, which I'll get changed, is available. I don't know if there's anything else we need to mention as far as announcements that's not been mentioned. Yes?
Let me correct it. Sorry. Oh, here he is. On December 20th, we're having Chancellor Christian Church our Christmas fellowship dinner at 12:30. And I believe Elder Craig said in the new year, January, is when we're going to start our Saturday fellowship.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So on December 20th,
okay.
December 20th, we're having
right.
our Chandler Christmas party kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fellowship at 12:30.
Right, okay.
More like a dinner, a lunch, or a celebration?
Yeah, but we do that anyway on Saturday evening, so we're going to replace the Saturday evening with a continued noon fellowship.
Right, but we're not going to, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, are we having the prayer? Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I just wanted, there wasn't confusion as to what's going on because I didn't know there was going to be a prayer.
We'll pray afterward, but for those who want to stay.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, so whatever you're going to do otherwise is fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll make sure that gets cleared as we go forward. All right, talking about the Saturday fellowship, we're going to replace our night meeting with a noon meeting. Okay, let me have the ushers come now so we can receive the offering, and I praise God for the way He provides for us. Even though we are fewer, God still takes care of things, and we praise Him for that. We are blessed in so many ways. Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your provision in our lives. We just want to be faithful and do what Jesus told us to do, to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness, and then You will add the rest of it to us. And so, as long as we keep our priorities right with You, You will make sure that things go the way You want them to go. And so we thank You and praise You for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I guess there's probably not any other announcements, and unless you want to make one, Craig, were you the thing you will?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay. All right. Well, as soon as we receive the offering, I'll begin my message here. You can go ahead and get my program up there, you guys upstairs. All right, we're in the book of Titus. Today's going to conclude this book, Lord willing. And I've entitled this, Paul's Final Comments to Titus. So as we come to the end of this letter that Paul wrote to Titus, the background for Paul's relationship with Titus is given in the letter to the Galatians. And here's what Paul said about him. 14 years later, let me just look up here. Oh yeah, it's all on the screen. I went back to Jerusalem again, this time with Barnabas, and Titus came along too. I went there because God revealed to me that I should go. While I was there, I met privately with those considered to be leaders of the church and shared with them the message I had been preaching to the Gentiles. I wanted to make sure that we were in agreement for fear that all my efforts had been wasted and I was running a race for nothing. And they supported me and did not even demand that my companion, Titus, be circumcised, though he was a Gentile. Even that question came up only because of some so-called believers there, false ones really, who were secretly brought in. And they sneaked in to spy on us and take away the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. They wanted to enslave us and force us to follow their Jewish regulations. But we refused to give in to them for a single moment. We wanted to preserve the truth of the gospel message for you. Galatians 2, 1 through 5. Other than this, we really don't know a lot about Titus, except that Paul is writing this letter to them. And when Paul began his instructions to Titus to help him continue in establishing the churches where he had left him, Paul had, later Paul hoped that Titus could join him in Nicopolis where he planned to spend the winter. So today, as we come to the final comments of this book, I'm going to read verses 9 through 15 of chapter 3. So Paul says, "Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning, and after that have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. I am planning to send either Artemas or Tychius to you. As soon as one of them arrives, do your best to meet me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to stay there for the winter. Do everything you can to help Zenas and the lawyer and Apollos with their trip. See that they are given everything they need. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Everybody here sends greetings. Please give my greetings to the believers, all who love us. May God's grace be with you all." Titus 3, 9 through 15. It is interesting to me how the Lord has preserved Scripture the way He has. And, of course, personal details are involved because God is working through people. And He's working through us. We're not writing Scripture, but we are living it. And we are God's written letter to those people that we encounter. The Holy Spirit is writing His message upon our hearts. And so what we see here is how the Spirit desires for us to learn and to live so that we can accomplish the purposes that God has, just like Paul was saying to Titus and the others that he mentions here, which the lawyer, we don't even know who he is. He just happened to be one of the believers that Paul mentioned who was going along with Apollos. We know more about Apollos. In any case, this is a very interesting letter, and I think as we wrap it up, it certainly has some good things for us to think about. So my first point is to talk about Paul's final instructions here to Titus. Since Paul is giving these instructions, he is challenging Titus because he knows that things can be difficult for him as he carries out the ministry that God has given him. And he's a younger man, and so Paul has lived through more circumstances and longer to know more about these things. And so he's encouraging him to continue to lead a life that will be beneficial. But in this scripture, Paul mentions that there are those who want to get bad things to happen and destructive things out of their own interest. Too often, people become obsessed with their own ideas and then they want to bind them on others. That was these Jewish leaders. It's no different today. Same thing goes on in the world and in the church, unfortunately. What they may be saying can have some benefit, maybe, but not necessarily for other people. As Paul says here, more times than not, they are unprofitable and useless. They can become divisive, which is even worse. And Paul says, if after warning such a person a couple of times, they continue to press their ideas, then we're to have nothing to do with them. Paul says such people are warped and sinful and become self-condemned. Unfortunately, this has become a major problem in the church and in our society. People get so caught up with things that seem to be more important than anything else. For example, the environment. You know, people want to make a god out of the environment, like that is a key, because one of the reasons that this happens with people is they don't have a god otherwise. Their god is right here in this life, and they think somehow they need to preserve it. And so they're wanting to make that the key thing. Kind of lost my place here. Where was I? Okay. Sometimes I get lost myself. Another aspect that we're seeing happen in our culture today that is so deviant and corrupt is this matter on sexual matters, transgender, and people thinking somehow that they can change their sex. And what is really horrible about all that is that there are actual men who claim to be women that are going into women's locker rooms and restrooms and exposing themselves, doing things that even the women don't do in their own places like that. And then, of course, there's the material world that people get so caught up with, and that becomes their identity. You know, the Apostle John wrote this to us, and it's something we need to constantly be remembering when he said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." You know, this is so true for our culture, because we have so many things in this culture that can give the flesh pleasure and seems profitable at the time. But the reality is one thing is for sure, no matter how healthy we may be or not be, one day we're going to go see Jesus. Whether he comes first or we go first, we will see him, and then we'll give an account of what went on in our lives at this time. You know, another thing that Paul said about this when he was writing to the Galatians, he said the desires of the sinful nature are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, and outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. That's Galatians 5:19 through 26. Probably a scripture we're very familiar with, but it's very difficult to make sure that we keep our focus right on these things. Because too often in this world, particularly as believers, we can get so caught up with the things that are bad and going wrong that we forget about keeping our focus on the things that are right and what God wants us to be doing. We're to be a light in this world. And we can't be the light if we're focusing on things that we want to condemn or criticize people for, or even allow ourselves to get drawn into it. That's why it is so important for us to be led by the Spirit. So when we're seeking to be led by the Spirit, then we will avoid these pitfalls that Paul was describing here to Titus. Instead, we can fill our lives with productive activities that help others and make us grow in the Lord, as Jesus taught us when he said we need to love our neighbor by learning to serve them. When Jesus gave us the great story of the Good Samaritan, he was dealing with people who thought they were better than people like they were, that those other people they were judging. Here's that story. I had to share this with you. One day, an expert in religious law stood up and to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love Yahweh your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind." I see I got "the" in there, which it had originally had "the Lord," but I put God's name in there because that's what is written in the Old Testament. "And love your neighbors as yourself." Jesus said, "You're right. Do this and you'll live." Well, the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Well, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus replied with a story. a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." Luke 10:25-37. Jen and I watched a movie that my daughter recommended, and it was back in the days when we were so, well, I guess it's still that way, but the black people were so mistreated, and all the bad things that happened. That's the way this Samaritan was. He was a person that the Jews couldn't stand because they didn't think he should be part of their group. And the reality is that it's easy for us to allow the culture to prejudice our minds and not keep the focus like we should on other people, period. And every person is a human being. Doesn't matter what they look like or who their parents were or what their history is. Jesus died for them, and he wants us all to come to know him. And that's the great thing about this story. These Jews, you know, they were so self-righteous, and that's what this guy's doing. You know, he's wanting to take Jesus to task because he knows what he's doing, and he doesn't approve of what he's doing. He's associating with people that they couldn't associate with or wouldn't associate with. And what a great thing Jesus taught in this. So the lesson for us is, instead of getting sidetracked in worthless arguments, we need to seek how we can be a good neighbor. Then we'll be about our Father's business, and it will count for eternity. And so that brings me to my next point. That is Paul's final remarks to Titus. Obviously, at this time, Paul is still traveling on one of his missionary journeys, although we don't know which one it was. He went on 3, and it's interesting when I look at the map to see the different places that he went. And his trips would be about, well, his first one wasn't this long, but the next two were about 2,000 miles. So it was quite a journey that he took, and of course on that journey he would experience some challenging things. In this case, Paul was planning on stopping in Nicopolis, which was up on the map. It's Macedonia, it says, although some say it's Greece. But he wanted Titus to join him there, so he's telling Titus to help those that he's sending, Zenas and Apollos, on their way. Zenas, the lawyer mentioned here, is not mentioned anywhere else we know of, and we don't even know what his nationality was or who he was. But Apollos is a familiar worker, and the apostles' instructions seem to suggest that they were in Crete with Titus and a position to see that he was in a position to see that they get everything they needed in order to be able to continue their journey, because they're part of the mission that Paul is involved with. Of course, they're servants of Christ who's been called to do these things, and we wouldn't know anything about it if it weren't for this letter that Paul wrote to Titus. But it gives us insight into realize how God is working, and he's still working this way. That's the great thing about it. Of course, ministering to others, and especially those in the household of faith, is what we're called to do, but it isn't always easy. Paul wrote this to the Galatians, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Well, we're to do good to everyone. Jesus would tell us we're to love our enemies. When he when he was given the Sermon on the Mount, he said this: "You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you're kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you're to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Getting this tickle in my throat. Now, this perfection that he's talking about here doesn't mean that we will do everything right and we'll never sin. What it means is that we're going to love other people like God loves people. And that is the part that he wants us to fulfill. And this is what Jesus is telling us to do here. He goes on to say over in Luke, "But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt as well. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you truly will be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." Luke 6:27 through 36. Now that's a pretty challenging scripture, and it can be a very difficult one. I have experienced that. I always remember of one particular time. I mean, as a pastor, I get a lot of calls and people needing help, and I'm always willing to go and see what I can do. And like he said here, I will help them out if I can. And this one particular time, this guy was standing on a street corner, and I asked him what he needed, and he said he needed money for something, and so I give it to him. So then I decided to drive around the block, and he said he was going, I don't know, to get a bus or something. And I come back, and he's still standing there. So I stopped the car and got out, and I said, "What are you doing still here?" Well, he really wasn't looking for help. He was looking to get stuff. Well, in those cases, you know, it doesn't mean we can't challenge someone and call them to an account if that's what they're doing, if they're not really seeking your help, and you will get taken advantage of. But that doesn't mean that we quit helping people. And we don't want to become cynical because of people like that. We're here, as we just read here, of what Jesus said, to shed the light of Christ so that other people can be impacted by the truth of God and His grace and mercy. So we don't want to allow that to deter us. We also don't want to allow ourselves to get caught up and sidetracked in worthless arguments that become such a problem. But we do have to stand for the truth. And that is so key. So as we continue to my third point here, may God's grace be with us all. Well, I hope I didn't mix my... Oh, here we are. Forgot to move my page. As Paul concludes his letter, He mentions God's grace, which is a marvelous characteristic of his, and it is because of his incredible love. Since God is infinite, his love is infinite, which is an amazing thing. You know, a lot of times people question, you know, well, why God would create this world and then let man sin and then have all the problems that develop from it, which has been pretty bad. The history of this world has certainly been a mess, and leading to eventually Jesus giving his life. And even though our nation came along, which was certainly a blessing by God, it certainly is into a lot of trouble because of what people are doing. And so we can begin to think, well, I wonder what good is all of this? Well, the thing is when we learn about God's marvelous grace and understand what he is doing, then it helps us to realize that what we're doing will count for eternity. And even though we may stumble along the way, as we will, we should not allow that to discourage us, because we get our focus back on Jesus. You know, what happens is when people do something wrong and they think somehow the way they're going to make it better is by wallowing in their self-pity. No, no. Get your focus back on Jesus, because he is the one that gets us out of our mess. You know, the book of Romans is really one of my very favorite books. It's hard for me to, you know, to say which one. I mean, I like Hebrews, but Romans is really very good. And this particular scripture in Romans is just so good about God's grace and love. This is Romans chapter 5. I want to read the first 11 verses. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now I have to stop and just say, are we rejoicing in our sufferings? Not very easy, is it? But the thing is, the rejoicing is not because we feel good. The rejoicing is because we know the good that's going to come from it, if we commit it to God. And that's the thing. That's what he did. When you think about what Paul went through, and I don't know of anyone that went through more trouble other than Jesus, and you look at the list of things that Paul suffered in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and that wasn't a full list, it's incredible what he went through, and yet he has the joy to be able to write something like this. Not sure when he wrote Romans, but he probably wasn't in prison yet. Anyway, let me continue. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What a great scripture. And what a great perspective for us to maintain as we live in this life with all of its trouble. The trouble that we experience, if we keep our focus on Jesus, counts for eternity. And like Paul said, one day when we're there with Jesus, we're going to look back on this. People say, well, are we going to remember this? You know, the scripture says we're going to sing about Moses and the Lamb. Now, how would it mean anything to sing about Moses and the Lamb if you didn't remember anything? Yes, we're going to remember this. But it's not going to depress us because we're going to know the victory that it achieved for us and what it meant. We're not going to forget what Jesus went through. In fact, we're going to know more about what Jesus went through for us and what an incredible thing that is going to mean to us. So this great scripture captures the entire message of God's grace. His grace is undeserved. It's a benefit that we have received, which ends up giving us God's bountiful benefits that come from His love, which enables us to have the wonderful fellowship with Him. And the great news is we'll have that for eternity. While the inheritance of the new heaven and the new earth will be wonderful, it will not compare to the fellowship we have with the Father and Jesus. We have that right now through the indwelling presence of the Spirit, and that is why as we go through this life and experience the troubles that we experience, we're going to be so filled with God's grace and love that we will be filled with joy in the midst of trouble. That's how it happens. It's not something that we do through some psychological process or, you know, somebody's philosophy. You know, the think and grow rich philosophy and the think positive philosophy, which can be beneficial, but that's not the key. And it can actually become idolatrous and sidetrack us from what we need, because if you think somehow because of the philosophy that you have, you're going to have everything good, and then if you lose everything, what's that going to do to you? Because that can happen. You know, I say this a lot. I just think it's funny because Dr. Dean O'Dell said if you want to live a long life and be healthy, just carefully choose your grandparents. You don't know what your DNA is going to do to you. You don't know what the future holds for your body. And the key is that when we have Jesus in the right place and we understand God's grace and we are seeking Him like this scripture says, then we will be ready to face whatever comes along. What a wonderful thing that is. So, what gives us this incredible help here is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. When I think about this, it's interesting the experience we can have. My mother had an older sister. Her name was Pauline. She was Pentecostal. And if you know anything about the Pentecostals, they think you got to get baptized in spirit. And of course, we were Church of Christ, which meant that we couldn't be by her thinking. She had two twin daughters. We met for a family reunion, and we were sharing together. By this time, I know their mother was gone. I can't remember if my mother was still living. I think it was because she didn't go later. But anyway, it was interesting what they said. They said, yeah, you know, your mother was trying to get us saved, and our mother was trying to get you filled with the Spirit. You know, it's so easy to get caught up with the wrong perspective about things and not realize what we need to be engaged in, that we are being given the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives so that we are enabled to be able to live the way we need to in this world, with all of its troubles and all of its difficulties. Excuse me. Aggravates me when my throat wants to tickle me. Anyway, we'll continue. Here's a scripture that talks about this that I really like. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Now, I just want to stop on that point a moment. That's incredible power, folks. And that's what God has given us. Now, the Question is, do we know how to avail ourselves of that power as we live this life here, so that we're not allowing the circumstances of this life or others to cause us to become discouraged, even to blame God? You ever met anybody who blames God because things didn't work out the way they wanted? I have. In fact, I've said this a number of times. I had a guy tell me that I tried it God's way and it didn't work, so I'm going to do it my way. That's sad. Unfortunately, it's disaster. But anyway, let me continue now with the scripture. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. That's Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. What a great passage. What a great scripture. And it helps us, if we keep the right perspective, to stay on the right track. So, it is God's grace that both forgives us and empowers us to be able to live the Christian life and be overcomers, because we have the power to overcome anything. You know, it's amazing, because when we get to a point where maybe our health is failing and we're not going to be here, kind of like maybe Tom is in that predicament, but the truth of the matter is, when we leave this world and we arrive over there with Jesus, it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened to us at that point. And the future just means it's going to get better for us. What a great thing that is. You know, people in our country talk about retirement and all these things that they hope that they'll be able to do one day, and that's fine. But the truth of the matter is, nothing here begins to compare to what is in store for us. So, as I bring this message and the book of Titus to a close, let us keep the message that we have to live as Christians. Just as Paul was writing to Titus to help him in his ministry, so we too can benefit from the instructions that Paul gives us in this epistle. Obviously, the Holy Spirit guided Paul in writing this so that it would become Scripture and we would be able to benefit from it. And what a great thing it is, because I know it has really helped me. Now, it's one of the interesting things, you know, when I went into the ministry, came out here to join another pastor to start a church here in Fredericksburg, and at that time we were so narrow-minded that we didn't think any Christians were here, so we were coming to establish a beachhead for Christ. And I say that God brought me out here so He could take me through my wilderness experience and open up my mind so I could see the reality of what He is doing. It is so easy for us to forget the tremendous benefit that we have that can come from the Holy Spirit. And the thing that has been such a blessing to me is to realize that the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I need to continue to seek Him so that I gain His wisdom and His strength to be able to live the way I should. And you know, I know enough about my past to know that I got a long ways to go now. But I'm going to keep my focus on Jesus and continue to seek to be filled with the Spirit so that I can live the way He wants me to live. You know, that's why Paul says we're ambassadors for Jesus, fulfilling His mission for us here on this earth. We're the light that Christ wants to shine into this dark world and to give people the hope of the salvation that He has to offer to them. So let us always be encouraged, fulfilling the calling that Jesus has given us, keeping our eyes on the mission which He has given to us. And with that, I close. Greg?
Well, you heard a lot about the mission this morning, that we all have a mission, and we just have to, again, be in tune to the Holy Spirit with that mission. You know, I just want to encourage you. We have prayer tonight at 4:30. I encourage you to come. We have a lot of people that, again, on that list that are ill, and we just need, you know, to come together. I just remember when Peter was in jail and they all came together and were praying for him. And then when he came knocking on the door, they left him outside. Those, hey, Peter's at the door. Well, let him in. You know, let him in. You know, but their prayers were answered by God, and God, you know, delivered Peter. You know, sometimes God does deliver us from our infirmities, and sometimes he doesn't. But the thing is that we got to have a joy that surpasses all understanding, and a joy even in the midst of our trials, because that's the only difference that people are going to see. If we behave the same way as they behave when we go through things, what different are we? How can we show that difference? So I want to encourage you this morning to show that difference as you go out in the world. And I just want to remind you to pick up a couple of these on your way out. And if I haven't passed out a prayer sheet to you, go ahead and pick one up on that table over there so we can pray for the people that are ill, and pray for our congregation, and, you know, pray for our Spanish congregation. You know, just pray for, you know, just continue prayer. I know prayer is probably the hardest thing that we do, you know, because we can get, you know, complacent. You know, you start praying and your eyes start getting heavy, and, you know, and then next thing you know, you're snoring, and then you go, oh, yeah, right, that's what I was doing. Has that ever happened to you? So anyway, we just have to be in tune to the Spirit. And then Wednesday night, we're going to be back in Leviticus. So if you're, right?
Yeah.
We're not? Yes, we'll be back because we had a one week hiatus because of Thanksgiving. So we'll be back there, and then yes, very good. And then also, just remember Saturday night we have a meal. If you come, and we have a little Bible study afterwards. And the other thing is, I want to close with this is, I know Mike and Vicky have volunteered their home for Home Fellowship, which we're trying to start up. And if anybody else, you know, throughout the week wants to have a Home Fellowship, you know, because we're probably going to have a prayer. We're not going to have this Saturday Bible study. But if you, like, have a struggle getting, you know, because of work or whatever, coming on Sundays, whatever, and you want to have a fellowship to get to know people, let me know if you want to host one, or you want, you know, in your neighborhood, because it'd be in various places and you just go to different places, because we want to be as one body. And that's a way to draw people to the church, because you say, hey, why don't you come over to my house? We're having a little get-together, you know, and that's something that we can do, because some people work weird hours and they can't be in fellowship as much as they want, and this is an opportunity that we can do. And with that, let us close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this morning, Lord, as we've been delving in your word, Lord. We just ask, Father, that you would help us, Father, to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against thee. Lord, you are such good Father, Lord. You've been so good to us throughout the years, and Lord, we have nothing to complain about, Lord, because, you know, Father, you've given us eternal life. You promised us a new body. Our home is in the heavenlies, and Lord, and so we don't have to worry about what goes on here, because you will take care of us, Father, and we thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless us this week, that you would put somebody in our way, Lord, that we can share the good news of the gospel. Someone that doesn't have hope and is looking for hope in all the wrong places, that we can steer them into the right place, and that is to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that, go out with joy and be led forth with peace. In Jesus' name, amen.